Petrangelo shoots, save, rebound, score! Nicholas Waugh ties it! Rebound goal for Nick Waugh.
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
A steal for Kolesar, charging out. Kolesar, the righty, shoots and scores! Kolesar on the breakaway.
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the...
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a trade to announce. The Vegas Golden Knights, about 11 minutes ago, confirmed some of the reports that we saw earlier today that they have traded for and acquired Anthony Mantha from the Washington Capitals in exchange for a 2024 second-round pick and a 2026 fourth-round pick. You go to Cap Friendly, it does appear that there is salary retention, so Anthony Mantha's $5.7 million cap hit reduced down to a cap hit of $2.85 million for the Vegas Golden Knights, which gives them flexibility still to do more business if they so intend to do by Friday's trade deadline. So Anthony Mantha is now a Vegas Golden Knight, a 2024 second round pick, a 2026 fourth round pick. And we'll dive into Anthony Mantha, what this means for the Golden Knights, where we envision the player fitting best with this team as we move along on the show today. We're also going to get into our game ratings. I know that nobody really wants to go down that road, but hey, we're going to do it as we move along on the show. And then we've got one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League, and it is trade deadline week, if you didn't notice. So that means we've got a lot of news to parse through, get to all throughout the day. But before we open up the phone lines, we will do that. 702-876-1340. Chris Chapman, your initial reactions to the Anthony Mantha trade?
Well, I like it because he's a 20-goal scorer, which is something that this team, look, they have a couple guys who are close, but they don't have a ton of firepower right now of guys putting the puck in the net with a consistent, any type of consistency. So Mantha will provide that, plays on the wing, which is obviously something you can benefit from because you certainly do have center depth per se. I mean, there's certainly always room for more centers, I believe. I'm a big believer in you never have enough center depth, but this team has that. And then when I find out that they only gave up, and I think we anticipated any deal that they made was going to include prospects and a first, and obviously they could still make another deal. But the fact that you kept Brisson, you kept Lucas Cormier, you kept your first-round pick for the next 2 years, and the Capitals are retaining $2.8 million in salary, I think you really have to go out and credit this team for making a big splash, because Mantha's a good player. He's a guy who has the capability to score. He can score on the power play. So I think it helps this team in a lot of ways. The question now becomes, where does he fit in? Where do you put him? And what is coming next? Because you don't have a team retain $2.8 million in salary, leaving you with room to play with if you're going to allow the extra $4 or $5 million just to sit there and be completely irrelevant or useless.
So on the surface, right, you're looking at a Golden Knights team right now that is short on wingers. You don't have Will Carrier in the lineup. That is one of your tried and true left wingers that you rely upon for a lot on your fourth line. You don't have Mark Stone available to you. You're not going to have Mark Stone available to you for a while. What's one of the areas or an aspect of Anthony Mantha's game that I think is maybe not going to get a lot of play in the run-up to his Vegas Golden Knights debut? It's his defensive impact. It's a solid defensive player in Anthony Mantha. Like, he can do a lot of good things in his own zone. breakup plays, not to the level of a Mark Stone, but of that ilk to a degree. So you've got a big body who's not overly physical. You've got a guy that is direct offensively. He can go to the front of the net. He's going to not try to beat you wide so much as he's going to try to go through you and create good quality scoring chances there. He's shooting 22% this year. That shooting percentage is phenomenal when you look at it from that perspective. And again, you talk about the fact that he's got 20 goals this year, Chapman. He's on pace for career highs in goals. He has twice before this season hit the 20-goal plateau in the National Hockey League. So he's got a pedigree and ability to put the puck in the back of the net. There's speed. There's finish. There's kind of a lot of different things you want to see with Anthony Mantha. And he's rediscovered that this season with a Washington Capitals team that, frankly, is not very good. Like, I know they're kind of right there hanging in the playoff race in the Eastern Conference, but they've not been the type of team, dynamic team, that you would kind of hope or expect them to be. So all that to say, Anthony Mantha is a Vegas Golden Knight. It didn't cost much for the Golden Knights to pick up Anthony Mantha and salary retained. That's a huge, huge boost for Kelly McCrimmon, the front office, and the Vegas Golden Knights. So with that being said, we're going to open up the phone lines to your questions. Obviously, it has been an eventful week, an eventful weekend for the Vegas Golden Knights. It's a road trip that started off well, 3 out of a possible 4 points through the first two games. A really strong performance in Toronto. Quickly turned in the wrong direction. And the Vegas Golden Knights over the final three games of the road trip gave up 18 goals. It's going to be hard to win games when you give up that many goals. So I want to direct this in some degree. Obviously, you see what Kelly McCrimmon does today with Anthony Mantha, but what else do you feel needs to happen for the Golden Knights this week in order for the recent run of play to change? Meaning specifically, how do the Golden Knights get better as a whole defensively? Or just simply, how do they get back in the win column consistently? 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. We have lines open. If you call, we're putting you on the air. Let's go out to the phone lines. Bring in Paletti. Hey, Paletti, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, sure has.
So in terms of what the Golden Knights need to do better, I think I have a solution. I think they need to make a trade. I think that they need to get on the phone, Team in Canada, and I think Jack Eichel for Connor McDavid, one for one. Who says no?
Believe it or not, Paletti, I think that the Vegas Golden Knights and their fan base would say no, because as funny as that one is, this is not a friendly environment to Edmonton Oilers, and I'm just going to kind of put that out there. But yeah, good stuff there. I love it.
No, my actual serious question, though, in terms of how the Golden Knights have gone this season, and I'm not going to pretend like I paid as much attention as I probably should have, it's looking like it's going to be a 4-4 split in the West in terms of the playoff spots. Is this a case where with 20 games to go, Vegas needs to look at just getting in, or should they be concerned about matchups and seeding and the like? Or, you know, is it just like the injury season 2 years ago where they just missed out? Is this just a case of let's get in and deal with the fallout later?
To me, it's certainly about that. Like, obviously you want to have as good a seeding as you can possibly have going into the playoffs. You want to be playing well for sure. But, you know, beyond that, I don't know that seeding is going to matter all that much. Bruce Cassidy mentioned it before that if you get your game in order, if the Golden Knights are able to get their game in order, buttoned up, playing the right way, playing to their identity, and they get a little bit healthier as you get closer and closer to the end of the regular season, I think that if they are a wild card team or if they do start on the road, it's not the worst thing in the world. You just have to get there. That's the objective right now for Vegas. So to me, it's very much about now the focus has to be on doing what you've got to do to get into the playoffs. Once you're there, once you've got your ticket punched, then you see where things fall. And you might end up getting the Vancouver Canucks in round number one, which would not be the worst thing in the world if you're a Golden Knight fan.
Now, Paletti, I have a question for you because we know you call from Australia. And this past weekend, the National Rugby League in Australia opened their season at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. So how did the fans react to that down there? Like, was it one of those, I can't believe they're playing our season opening games out of the country? Or did the fans kind of embrace it? Like, hey, this is really cool. Because I know there were a ton of Aussies in Vegas. I saw the videos of Fremont Street, and it was packed. But how did the fans react to the games being played in Vegas?
I think the reaction was overwhelmingly positive. I mean, look, I quite often say that rugby league pundits are some of the most brain-dead people in the world. But, like, that kind of came true this weekend again because, like, you know, I literally had to hear them use the word unbelievable one more time to describe going to Vegas. I might have ripped my hair off. Like, it was just, like, it was like they couldn't come up with another word. And, like, I understand the historicness of it. And, look, I didn't get a chance to watch the game, but even though they were, you know, Sunday afternoon, I was on the road, but I was listening on the radio. Like, everything sounded as it normally did. Like, from the highlights I've seen, it looks good. You know, one of the problems with Allegiant Stadium is the narrowness of the field. Like, it impacts football. Soccer matches impacted the rugby league, but, like, I think the players adapted to it pretty quickly. Overall, I think it was very overwhelmingly positive taken here in Australia. And I think this was year one of a 5-year deal, so this is going to be for the next few years, and hopefully next year I'll be able to make it over and, you know, take in the action from the stadium.
That's awesome. Like, I've never really watched it, but I've watched Aussie Rules, especially the grand final, because a long, long time ago there was a guy named Ben, oh God, I'm blanking on his name now, but he played for the New York Jets, but he played for Geelong in the Aussie Rules Football League, and he was a punter, but because I was a New York Jets fan, I started watching Aussie Rules, and I was like, man, this is really, really cool stuff. And they used to show the grand final here on regular television, but they don't do that anymore. One year, I remember Dame Edna was there.
Still on streaming and whatever else, and it's impossible to find.
Well, that's never fun.
All right, Paletti, any other thoughts on Vegas as we're looking at, again, 20 games left before now and the end of the regular season for the Golden Knights?
I think the only thoughts I have is for the fan base, and that, please shut up. Just stop acting like every single conceded goal or loss is the end of the world. I know it's difficult. I know losing isn't fun, but just, like, make Ryan's life easier, right? Just stop yelling at Ryan. Like that's probably the only thing I'm going to say. Stop yelling at Ryan. You do a fantastic job. I say this nearly every time I come on. Like, you don't deserve to be going through this. Like, just say, calm down. Like, it's not the end of the world, okay? The cup, we got the cup last year. I, like, fan bases like Buffalo, like the Ottawa Senators, like Columbus, would trade 20 losing seasons in a row if it meant they got the cup once. Just calm down, okay? That's all I have to say.
Great stuff, Paletti. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate that. I didn't say it, but I'm right there with Paletti. All right, 702-876-1340. That's the number. It's Ask the Insiders, your opportunity every week to give us a shout, ask us a question, dig in a little bit deeper, throw your opinion out there. And, you know, some might even want to yell at me. That comes part and parcel with the job. That being said, 702-876-1340. We do have lines open. If you call, we're putting you on the air. The Golden Knights just traded for Anthony Mantha. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I love to follow Paletti. He's a great man, and I wish he'd call more often. Stop yelling at Ryan, for crying out loud. Last night I got a little crazy. And I will be the first to admit that I said some things that were not appropriate for the moment, out of frustration, I suppose. One thing I hope the kids do is have a closed-door meeting between now and the practice time tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow morning. I love to see the players only meeting in, take place. I don't know if it would do any good, but it couldn't hurt right now. Now, as it stands right this moment, with Anthony Manta, I think we have $5.5 to $6 million left on the books. If you take half of his salary,
it's about four. It's about $4.5 million.
But wasn't
is
it
what
four
the Golden Knights
already?
Still have to work with? No, that's what I'm saying. With Manta at 50% retained, the Golden Knights have about $4.4 million to work with.
Okay, so if we make another deal, and by the way, the similarities are stark. Ivan Barbashev had 29 points in 59 games when we got him last year. Manta has 34 points in 56 games. Not dissimilar. They're the same, obviously, kind of trade, mid-line or second or third line players. So I see a lot of similarities between those two. But the guy I want the most is Tarasenko from Ottawa. And with a warm body and maybe a first-rounder or maybe a first-rounder, could we not retain or attain him? Isn't that possible?
Is it possible? Yeah, absolutely, it's possible.
So we have the money
Ottawa
for
to retain,
him.
You would need Ottawa to retain salary to get it to work. But if I'm not mistaken, Vladimir Tarasenko's on a 1-year, $5 million deal. So if it was straight up player for picks or prospects or whatever, and you don't have money coming out, you would need either salary retention or money coming out to do it. But I don't think it's off the table. No.
Okay. So it may just stay the same as it was last year when we picked up Barbashev. I don't know. The question I had, which I was going to save, and I still would like to hear Darren's take on this at some point, is with Austin Matthews having been raised in the desert, does that give the kids of Las Vegas a lot of hope for the future? I mean, that has to be a huge deal for one of your own to star in the National Hockey League. I want you to comment on that, if you would, please.
Yeah, I don't see why not, Mike, and thanks for the call. You know, you see the impact of what hockey can do in a non-traditional hockey market, and, you know, if not for Wayne Gretzky being traded to the Los Angeles Kings, I don't think I would have ever gotten into hockey. I've made that pretty clear. Now, that's on one aspect or one level of things you could do inside the sport. But the other one is what Austin Matthews is doing, a player that grows up in Arizona. It gives you an idea of why it's so key for the National Hockey League to have a team in Arizona, because that is a market that you really do feel can help you, not just in the short term, but in the long term. And, you know, for kids growing up now in Vegas, you have more ice sheets available. You have different programs available. You have an opportunity to put the best athletes on the ice in good spots to hone their skills and reach their potential. So in my book, in my estimation, seeing Austin Matthews thrive in the National Hockey League, a lot of that's, you know, just talent, right? Ability for sure. But you don't get to realize that or actualize that if you don't have the infrastructure in place to identify it, hone it, and grow it. And, you know, there's a lot of kids now in Las Vegas that are going to play hockey growing up instead of football, instead of baseball or basketball, whatever it might be. And, you know, who knows? One day, one of those kids might make it to the league, and that would be awesome. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad.
Fantastic.
So, if anybody's watched my Twitter, I've been dealing with bees today, so I missed a little bit of the beginning, so please, I apologize if anything I say is repeating or something that's already been answered. I saw that we traded for Anthony Manta, and I believe it was just draft picks in return, right?
Yes, a 2024 second round pick and a 2026 fourth round pick.
So I'm assuming he's going to be taking one of our HSK players' spots, right? At this point?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that once he's here and integrated, like I would expect that he'll play on Thursday. We'll see how that goes. But my guess is that he's going to play alongside William Karlsson and maybe Mike Lamadio. Like you're probably going to want to start him higher up in the lineup because I think you're trying to balance out your lines a little bit more. Or maybe he'll play with Chandler Stephenson. It might be Mantha, Stephenson, and Amadio or some configuration thereof. But I do think that you're going to see Mantha up the lineup probably in a second or third line role with this team.
I mean, look, it's not like we haven't gotten a player from Washington and turned them into a high talent, high energy person. So I'm looking forward to that and seeing what he can bring. I guess I have one other question. That's, of course, going to be speculative, but I have a favorite player, and I think everyone knows that talks to me or heard me on here, and that's Marcius, though, and not just because he is an excellent hockey player. He's also really involved in the youth hockey community here, which is another reason that I personally would love to see him stay. Do you guys have any thoughts or opinions on what, if he resigns, which hopefully he does, what that might look like?
Yeah, I mean, I've got lots of thoughts, Stephanie. Thanks for the call on what another contract might look like for Jonathan Marcius. So the good news is he's having a career year. The bad news is he's having a career year, right? Like that drives the price up on the heels of a Conn Smythe winning a Stanley Cup, potentially putting 40 goals on the ledger in a career year contract year. Like that drives the value up. Now, I don't know, given what Jonathan Marcius has said playing for Vegas means to him. I don't know if at this point, after you've won it all, you've got a chance to sign a really, you know, another decent contract, good contract. Like I don't know if the desire to go out there and maximize the money is there. But we'll kind of see. Like obviously I think for the Golden Knights, it's probably more about term than anything else. You're talking about a guy on the other side of 30, not to suggest that he can't continue to play at this level, because I think that he can, but I don't think you want to go 5, 6, 7 years with a Jonathan Marcius. So if you don't have to go down that road. So I think term probably is going to be more of a sticking point if there is one than anything else. But right now, I think both sides are just going to let it play out, see what happens at the end of the year and reassess as to what makes the most sense for the Golden Knights moving on from there.
You know,
Chapman, you have anything to add on that
one? Yeah, I've often said that I thought Marchessault would take a hometown discount, but unfortunately, now the hometown discount is probably still higher than what he's currently making now, because he's earned, I think, that higher contract. You know, this is a guy who came into the league a little bit later than most, so he's got a lot less wear and tear on the body. So I know he's 33, but I feel like he's a young 33. And I think if you're Vegas, this is the guy who's basically the face of your franchise. I know you've got Jack Eichel. I've said before on the show that I do believe the very first jersey that's hung from the rafters at T-Mobile Arena will be Jonathan Marchessault's number 81. So I think it's probably something that both sides want to get done. I think Marchessault would love to stay here, and I think the Golden Knights would love to keep him. So hopefully whatever happens, they're able to work out a deal that's manageable for both sides, and let's hope that Jonathan Marchessault is here until the end of his career.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not just a one-sided decision, right? You've got Jonathan Marchessault as a UFA. I mean, Anthony Mantha factors into that to a degree, but not as much as say, Chandler Stephenson, who's a UFA at the end of the season. You've got Michael Amadio, also a UFA at the end of the season. So there are conversations that you do have to try to figure out if you're the Vegas Golden Knights going into next season. What does it look like? If you could go 3 by 5.5, 3 by 6, like I think that makes sense, but it's got to make sense for both sides, and it'll only get done if that's what the front office determines is what's best for the Knights. That's what they do. So we'll kind of keep tabs on that as things progress, or if we hear anything on it.
There's no reason to think that Jonathan Marchessault is going to stop producing. Sure. Like he's having the best year of his career at 33. So I think
now.
And this is off the heels of a Conn Smythe. So,
and And I will say that, you know, with Mark Stone out of the lineup again this season, it kind of illuminates your winger depth to a degree. You're going out and acquiring an Anthony Mantha because you need to bring more wingers in. So maybe that nudges you in one direction or another with Jonathan Marchessault. So something to keep an eye on. Let's go back out of the phone lines, bring in Diane. Hey, Diane, how you doing?
I'm good. Let me just make a couple of quick points. It dawned on me last night that over 90% of this season, our team has had to play, and, you know, they've worked really hard, but they're all rookies. I mean, they're all Silver Knights coming up, which says a couple of things. One, thank you for being as good as you are, but you're still young and you're not the Stanley Cup, you know, compadres here. Also, that says give up the dang draft picks and get as much help as we can get because we don't need them. We've got a deep, deep, deep bench with what we've seen in the Silver Knights that have come out. So those are important. The big question I have for you, though, and this is because of the emotion and the mental game that our coach was talking about earlier today, or last night it was, how would you feel about bringing Riley Smith back on board?
Yeah, you know, Diane, that's a good question. It's not a question that that I haven't had a couple of times here. How would I feel about it? I wouldn't be upset about it. Like, I wouldn't be mad at it, I guess, is probably the best way to put it, right? Like, it's a player that means something to this fan base. It's a player that fits in seamlessly, you know, based on what he was able to accomplish in his tenure here with the Golden Knights. You know, it's a player that fits in with the room. It's a player that fits in on a line. He gives you penalty killing minutes, power play minutes, can play 5-on-5, knows the system. Like, all of those things are true. I don't get the sense that that's the direction that, you know, Vegas might go if they do something else. But, you know, I'm not hard and fast, no, you moved on, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, there's a lot of reasons why it makes sense. I just don't get the sense that's the direction that the Golden Knights are going to go.
Here's the irony. Riley Smith was hurt this year. I mean, could any more Golden have injuries even when they're not in the team anymore? It's crazy.
That's the cost of winning a Stanley Cup, Diane. And again, thank you for the call. It's one of those situations where, you know, Gabe Landeskog, right, hasn't played a game for the Colorado Avalanche since winning the Stanley Cup. There is a price that you pay. It is a grind to get there. It's all about attrition. And, you know, sometimes you don't see that manifest early on in the season, but it does happen at later stages. And I think right now the Golden Knights, certainly they've been going through injuries over the last couple of seasons, 3 years to be exact. But I still believe in that room. I still believe that they are able to find a way through this. And if they do, they're going to be a better team for it. That's what I was trying to say yesterday on the show, on the extended postgame show, is that adversity is not necessarily a bad thing. It's uncomfortable now if you're a fan of the Golden Knights. I get that wholeheartedly, and I understand the frustration. I don't take, you know, the anger or that frustration personally at all, but I will say that in understanding how teams are built, in understanding how championship metal is forged, you have to go through adversity. And, you know, Chapman, I just want to get this idea, this thought out there, and then we'll take a break, I promise. But earlier this season, really at the beginning of the year, if I remember correctly, it was training camp. Bruce Cassidy, Darren and I were doing the show at Studio 31. Bruce Cassidy comes in, very impromptu, very relaxed, off the cuff, comes in, sits down, we have an interview. And I asked Bruce, like, what's the one thing you learned? Like, looking back on it now, you've got a little bit of time away, you've got some space removed from winning a Stanley Cup. What did you learn that maybe you didn't expect or didn't think or was different from what you thought you needed in order to win a championship? He said, I thought you had to be perfect. Right? Like, I thought you had to have a perfect team. And he said that flat out last year, they were imperfect. There were moments where they'd play really well. And then there were moments where they would not play well. And they dealt with injuries and all of that stuff. And that even through the playoffs, There were moments of imperfection, but they embraced that aspect of it, and they were able to get through it because they dealt with adversity. They dealt with a long stretch without Jack Eichel, without Mark Stone, without players. They got key reinforcements that came in and made them a better team. And all of that to say, just because we think we know where this team is going based on what they've been the last couple of weeks, it goes to show you we don't know. There were a lot of people last year that looked at the Ivan Barbashev trade and said, oh, that's it. That's all the Golden Knights are doing. And it turns out he's the key to a line that helps you win a Stanley Cup. We don't have a crystal ball. We cannot predict what a team absolutely will or will not be. We just have to let things play out and trust in the people that are making the decisions. And by the way, the people that are making the decisions won a Stanley Cup last year.
Yeah.
I think we should just relax and trust that.
I think that's kind of my mindset as well. I tweeted earlier, I said, you know, hey, you can't really make your decisions based on the last two games. You know, there's a process, and I tend to err on the side of George McPhee and Kellen McCrimmon have not steered this franchise or the fan base wrong. Even as unpopular as some of the decisions that they have made have been, they've all been beneficial to this team and this organization. They helped the franchise win a cup. And listen, I'm not a mouthpiece for the team. I'm just honest. And I tell it like I see it. And you have to trust that these two guys know what they're doing. Like, they're not a clown outfit where they go out and make moves and you scratch your head and you're like, what the hell did they do that for? Because, you know, they signed Phil Kessel last year, and while he didn't play in the postseason, he helped you win a Stanley Cup. He helped you get there. Even Teddy Bluger, who was healthy scratched, I believe, for every game in the postseason, he helped you get there. That move, as minor as it was extremely beneficial for the team. Like, I remember when they traded for Nick Waugh, and I'm like, who the hell was this guy? Like, they traded away Eric Halla, and they got Nick Waugh. Look, I like Eric Halla. I'd rather have Nick Waugh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is they've built so that this team can contend and so that they can win in their window. They're in their window. Today's trade for Anthony Mantha kind of pushes that narrative along, that this is a team that still believes they've got everything they need if everything kind of breaks for them, if they get healthy, if they get their game in order. And I think that's going to be the big thing for the Golden Knights moving forward. Let's take a break, but before we do, code word of the day. That's right, it's hit the jackpot on Fox Sports Las Vegas. You could win $2,024. All you got to do is text in the code word to 702-876-1340. The code word today is Stardust. Stardust. It is a repeat for sure of the code word that we had last week or 2 weeks ago. But Stardust, Cody Rhodes fans, get to texting. We're back with more on the VGK Insider Show right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas. VGK Insider Show. You pull the Mantha goal call? Look at you, Chappie.
Yeah, well, I had the Morelli goal call, but when the when the trade happened, I love the Caps play-by-play guy. Like,
okay.
He scores! Like, I just think he's great. He's got a great voice, and his goal call is great. It's up with Ken Cal from the Red Wings. For those who are Detroit fans, they know exactly what I'm saying. But I don't know the guy's name, which is kind of sad. But he's really good. And so I had a few minutes to swap it out, so I did. By the way, my buddy who's a Caps fan, he texted me. Sure. He's not happy with the trade because he feels like Washington didn't get enough in return. He's like,
they
retained salary and they didn't get a first round pick. He's like, so all they got was a 2 and a 4. And his thoughts are like mine. Well, the 4 is kind of a throwaway.
Listen, it is a great trade for Kelly McCrimmon and the Vegas Golden Knights, and this is going to piss off a lot of people, and I get it, I do, especially with all the cap whining and complaining that I've seen over the last couple of weeks in relation to Vegas and all that. But here's the thing. The Vegas Golden Knights trade for Anthony Mantha. As you mentioned, it cost a 2024 second-round pick, a 2026 fourth-round pick, and given the trajectory of the Golden Knights, those are going to be late second-round picks and late fourth-round picks. So you can assess individual value all you want to that, but they do so in getting a player that's going to be able to help them right now and 50% retained salary. That's huge. Like, that is such a steal when you look at this deal, because it leaves the Golden Knights flexibility, more opportunity to add another piece or more than just one piece if they want to, because they do have roughly $4.5 million to work with here ahead of the trade deadline. And that is if there's no money coming out in a potential deal as well. So this trade addresses an area of need right now, makes you better, and you get it at a reasonable enough cap hit after not giving up that much to acquire the player to do more business. That's huge for Kelly McCrimmon and the Golden Knights.
Yeah, that's the thing right there, because you didn't have to give up any prospects. You didn't have to give up any NHL-ready players like Brendan Brisson to make this deal. Mm-hmm. So you have all your assets to go out and get someone else. I mean, who it is, look, I can sit here and I'm going to say with a high degree of confidence that they're going to make another move. They're not going to let that dead cap money sit there and go unused. They're going to find a way to fill. I believe Danny Webster tweeted out it's $4.4 million. They're going to find a way to utilize that $4.4 million. What they do, I have no idea. I have my thoughts on what I wouldn't mind seeing them do or what I'd like to see them do.
Okay, all right, let's not get into specifics here, but like you're looking at another forward.
I think so. I mean, look, I think for that money, I think you look within the division and maybe you look at the team that plays at the Pond, or the place formerly known as the Pond, because you've got Frank Vetrano, who still
you don't even need them to retain salary there.
And he has another year left on his deal. Because he's only making 3.65, so as you said, you don't have to retain salary. He's another winger. You've got your center depth, like I said. But I mean, look, I'm not opposed to them going out and acquiring another center. I'm going to look to the Pacific Northwest, a team that is looking like they're out of it, and there's a 29-year-old center.
Don't give away one.
No, Jack, I'm not going to. But there's a center for that team that, and look, it's not the first time I've mentioned on this show that I like that guy. So
no, and he can play the wing too. Yeah. You can never have too many centers that can play the wing.
So there's two potential moves that, and look, the money is, it's, I think you could do it. It's over $4.4 million, but only by a tiny little bit. So I think it's a move that could be made.
So Anthony Mantha, left-hand shot, traditionally plays the right side. That's not something you usually see or is typical that much for Bruce Cassidy. He usually likes to have handedness on that side of the ice. So you look at Ivan Barbashev, he's a left shot, plays the left wing. Jonathan Marsh is a right shot, plays the right wing. So I'll be interested to see where Anthony Mantha lines up. But again, if you are just now joining us, if you have not heard the news, the Vegas Golden Knights acquire Anthony Mantha from the Washington Capitals for a second-round pick in 2024 and a fourth-round pick in 2026. And the biggest aspect of this deal, Kelly McCrimmon pulls off a beautiful, beautiful trade because the Washington Capitals retain 50% of the salary for Anthony Mantha. It takes a $5.7 million cap hit down to $2.85 million that the Golden Knights are on the hook for. And it allows the Golden Knights more flexibility to make more trades if they so desire ahead of the trade deadline. You're of the mindset that the Golden Knights aren't done. I'm of the mindset that the Golden Knights aren't done. And, you know, as we start to think about it, you hope, right, that Mantha's able to get here to Vegas as quickly as possible, that he's able to get a practice in, maybe even as early as tomorrow, and that he can play for you on Thursday night. Now, we don't know if any other players that are injured right now for the Golden Knights are close to returning. Who am I talking about there? Pavel Dorofeev being one. You've got Brett Howden being another, and Will Carrier being your third. Like, those are the three that I think we're looking at as probably the nearest to a return. Do you agree with that, Chapman?
Yeah, we're wondering when, you know, guys are going to start trickling in. It's one of those, really, unfortunately, it's a confusing thing. Now, the Capitals' last game was two nights ago. They played home against Arizona. So I'm not sure where they're heading next. So I'm not sure if Mantha was in Washington when this deal was made. If that's the case, it may take him a little bit longer to get to Vegas and in the lineup. But we should see him no later than the weekend, I'm guessing. Yes, but as far as the injured players, I mean, look, hopefully it's coming soon, because I think this team certainly needs some reinforcements. And that's not to say that some of the replacement guys haven't played well, because I think Mason Morelli really sticks out to me as a guy who's taken advantage of his opportunities. But I think you want William Carrier back in that lineup. You want Brett Howden back. You want Ben Hutton, because it gives you the flexibility to insert him if a guy needs a night off. You know, it's look, you can only hold the dam together with so much chewing gum before it bursts. And yeah. I think we're at the point where guys have played well, but I think you want your regulars back.
Ben Hutton's available. He's cleared. He's ready to go. What I'm saying, though, is when you look at where the Golden Knights are at right now with Anthony Mantha in the fold, and we'll go through an exercise here in hour number two where we try to figure out what we expect in terms of that initial line combination or where we expect them to play with the Golden Knights even as early as Thursday. But if you don't get players back beyond just Anthony Mantha, or you don't make another trade, it still feels like you're piecing some things together, right? Like, even with Mantha in the fold, you're still going to be looking at a minimum, two players from the Henderson Silver Knights that you're going to be looking at and relying upon in different spots and situations. So this is, again, a great bit of business for Kelly McCrimmon and the Vegas Golden Knights. It is definitely a step in the right direction in trying to assess what this team needs and where they can improve and how you can supplement. I love the player. I really do. Again, you're talking about a guy that's three times in this league scored 20 goals. That's not an easy thing to do. And he's in the midst of a career type of season. And that was on a very bad, not great offensive juggernaut in the Washington Capitals. Again, decent defensive metrics. He's got an ability to go to the front of the net. Speed, finish, it's all there for Anthony Mantha. He is a player that's built in a lot of ways to play inside of the Golden Knights system for this type of team. And so I'm very interested to see how it all shakes out. We're going to take a break, come back with more on the VGK Insider Show. Rolling along here on a very busy Tuesday afternoon. First show of the week. And Chapman, the trade already comes in. Anthony Mantha to the Vegas Golden Knights. He is a three-time 20-plus goal scorer in the National Hockey League. It's a second-round pick in 2024, a fourth-round pick in 2026 for Mantha at 50% retained salary. So instead of a $5.7 million cap hit, it is a $2.85 million cap hit. And it leaves the Golden Knights with a ton of flexibility going into the trade deadline on Friday. That, to me, is the greatest part of this trade, is the fact that you get 50% retained. You don't give up a lot in terms of real assets, meaning players within your organization, prospects, young players trying to break into the National Hockey League. Like, you get this done with picks, that's huge. It really is. So for the Golden Knights, I think that leads us into this idea of where else or what else can they bring in to improve? How can they snap out of this skid? And where does Mantha fit right now? And where might he fit if this team is fully healthy? We're going to dig into all that in hour number two. We're also going to get to our game ratings. Again, I know you don't want them. We're going to give them to you anyway. And then we've got one-timers. News and notes from around the National Hockey League. The Vancouver Canucks are chaos, and I am here for it. We'll dig into that next. Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show, rolling along on Fox Sports Las Vegas.